Morning. Oh, sorry to stop you guys from fellowshipping. We'll have some more time to do that, I'm sure. But I want to welcome you all to our house. But first of all, before I open, I just want to let everyone know that we're together as a family here today. This is not MTI coming as individuals to another house, and you can't touch the furniture or mess with things. We have an open mic, and I talked to Mike, and I understand you guys do. So as you are led by the Lord during the service, and you are inspired to share what God's putting on your heart, just come on up and just share. We do appreciate you when you talk into the mic. That way we can have it recorded, and we can hold it against you. No, we can have it recorded for the ability to go back and be encouraged. But so we're just gonna enter into a time of worship and just seek God and see what He does. I don't think we have a lot of an agenda today, other than I believe that the Lord wants to impact our lives in a significant way, as He does every single day, not just on Sundays, not just when we gather together in a ceremonial gathering. But He wants to touch us in a supernatural way every single moment of our lives if we'd let Him. And so if you would just open up your hearts, and I'm just going to invite God right now. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are in each and every one of us. God, so we brought You with us here today. And Lord, beyond that, it says that we've come to Mount Zion. Lord, that we've come to a heavenly gathering. And so, Lord, today I pray that that environment of heaven would manifest here. Lord, that we would have a tangible experience with You face to face. Lord, with You experiential wise, that we can leave and it will be something that carries us through, not just through the day, Lord, but through the rest of our lives. We pray, God, for an impactful service, an impactful time, God, that we're not the same when we leave. Lord, we know that You are the one that's working in our lives. So we yield and we surrender everything that we are into Your hands. Now, Father, we just ask that You would allow us, Lord, to be led by the Spirit as a family, not just as two groups coming together, Lord, but as a family. Lord, because we are the family of God, Lord. We're one family in heaven and on earth, Lord. So let all the family of God, Lord, that is here today, participate in this time together in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Just want to give you one more directive. Right here we have a box that you can put your offerings for One Life Family Worship and MTI. And you can just do that anytime during worship. So ours is bigger, I know. Ours looks like a treasure chest, I know. So maybe you can be inspired and go for a gold one next time you come. Ours looks like the ark. Okay, we're ready to go. All right, so Mike, if you have anything you want to share, or we can just get right into worship. All right.
So for those of you who are not real familiar how we kind of stumble along, we'll sing some things that you know, but we're very spontaneous. So just whatever comes to me, that's what I sing. And then we'll go into like choruses, and we'll be encouraging you to join in. But in the meantime, you can sing all the way through. So just ever how the Spirit leads. I see the stars.
I hear the rolling thunder, your power throughout the universe display.
Yeah, again.
Amazing grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. singing this heavenly song. We're praising our heart today. We give all to you. We come boldly before your throne, standing in your light. You are holy, holy, holy King. I would love on you. I can hear the Spirit say, I will love on you in this holy place. Before the foundations of the world, I had you in my heart. I desire you. I desire you continually. Let me show you what you've never seen before. Let me take you through the door into your destiny, where you will see. My plans for you are good. No, they're not evil. I set my heart on you. I will see you through. You're my everlasting love, yes. You're my everlasting love. You're my everlasting love, O Holy One. Yeah, let's all sing that. You're my everlasting love. You're my everlasting love. You're my everlasting love, O Holy One. You're my everlasting love. You're my everlasting love. You're my everlasting love, O Holy One. Yeah. You're my everlasting love. You're my everlasting love.
I just want to encourage you that whatever it is that you're hearing the Lord just speak, to edify, to build up, to encourage, just come to the microphone and just release that word that is in you. Whatever the Lord is stirring you to encourage His people, to release His kingdom on the earth.
On. what I was hearing when we were singing there at the end was about when he was saying dreaming. And I feel like some of you had dreams and hopes and desires, and different things came against you, and it just seemed like it wasn't going to happen. But I feel like God was saying, let that get stirred back up in you again, and chart your course by the dream in your heart. God gives us dreams that are bigger than us so that we have to trust Him and use our faith to see those dreams come true. So my exhortation and encouragement to you is to dream again, to hope again, to begin to put those oars back again towards the vision, the desire that was in your heart. And this phrase, chart your course by the dream in your heart. Let that stir up. I took a young man up to the courts of heaven, and I thought, I don't know if he'll receive this, but I saw him with all these little strings coming out of his hearts with babies on the ends of them. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? And he said, that's the spirit of entrepreneurship, and those are dreams and inventions and ideas that he's yet to birth. And you need to encourage him with that spirit of entrepreneurship to begin to birth forth those dreams and visions. And I thought this young man might scoff at me because he wouldn't look at me when I was talking to him. But he turned around and he had tears running down his face. And he said, just last night I said to my wife, why do I have all these ideas? Why do I have all this inventions and creativity if God doesn't want me to do something with it? So it was just a word in season to bring encouragement. So begin to dream again. Begin to hope again. Begin to press towards that mark of the prize of the high calling. Jesus is in the boat.
Yeah. Come on, somebody else. You're a gateway.
When the word came out about how we are treasures, it reminded me of a few months ago. I decided to look up treasure in the Bible and just see what treasure, where it was and what it pertained to. And it talked a lot about man's treasures, you know, those things and that we collect. And also that the word is our treasure. And we hide it in our heart. But God had a treasure also, and there was only one thing. God's treasure was us. And just like our treasures we hold so dear, and we have our eye on it. Where is it? Is it still there? Don't let anybody touch my treasure. That's how God is with us. We are His treasure. We are the apple of His eye. He will not allow things to happen that He does not know of. And beware the man who touches the apple of His eye. The other one I would like to give is what my husband gave me last night. He said, lean not on your own understanding. God is much larger than our thoughts.
Yeah. Come on, somebody else. Don't be bashful. Release the word inside of you. It's important. You might think it's nothing, but it's treasure. Treasure from the Lord. Treasure. Won't you prophesy? Be bold, full of courage.
His heart is love, and he's wooing on our hearts. It's not necessarily that we press in for him, but his desire just had this, I don't even know what it was. It was like an emotion, like this overwhelming love of him just wanting to embrace his sons and his daughters, want to embrace me, want to be close, you know. We always think we're reaching out for love and reaching out for love and reaching out for love, and yet he's reaching into us and he's reaching into us and he's reaching into us, and he just wants to draw us into his heart. He wants to draw us into his presence. He wants to draw us into his spirit and just bless us with his love. Like a father reaching down to embrace his son or his daughter, he wants to hold you up in his arms so close. He wants to look in your eyes and speak into your heart. He has tears of joy when he sees you, and he just releases love over you. It's like a love that transfers from his heart right into yours. And this love, because there's a place that we feel like we need to press in, we need to press in, we need to press in to receive, to receive, to receive. Yet he's there with open heart just to pour out, to pour out, to pour out, to pour out. And it's just a matter of turning to him. There's just stuff that gets in the way. It just needs to get out of the way. Life needs to get out of the way for that part of his heart to be received. And he's always there giving of his heart. So that's what he's kind of impressing on my heart today, this morning.
I just saw or heard in the spirit the Lord saying he's stretching boundaries. And he said some of us, we have boundaries. They're like walls. They're concrete. And he doesn't want those kind of boundaries. He wants our boundaries are to be like rubber bands, that we can stretch and we can increase and that we can receive. And that he's all about increase. But when our boundaries are formed to concrete and we put him in a box, he is ready to take us out of that box. And we need to stretch. We need to have rubber bands around us and see him pulling us and extending every boundary.
So I had a dream last night, and I won't give you all the details, but the gist of it was that I went up to a faucet, a yard faucet, hose bib, and I had a 5-gallon bucket that I was going to fill up with water. And water to me is the Holy Spirit. In my dreams, it represents the Holy Spirit. And I had this bucket, and somehow I had turned a switch, and it turned on a sprinkler system of the city park, and everybody was in the park, and they're like getting just soaked with this water, and I'm trying to control the water, and I'm like, but I wanted to fill my bucket. And that's that boundaries. Here's my bucket, my capacity. This is how much I thought I was going to get. This is a lot. It's, you know, 40 pounds worth of water. And God's like, I'm just going to make a mess of everything that you think is under control and how much. And so then the dream continues with this cloud that is coming that is just as black as your shirt. It is heavy with rain. And that it is getting ready to release just this super soaking rain, and I'm just thinking, oh, everything's gonna get wet now. But what I realized was, you know, here I am with my little bucket, thinking this was a lot, and God's like, we haven't even begun, and everybody's gonna get wet. And what it showed me was, this was just for me individually, my little bucket, but he was going throughout the city. And so envision you guys are getting wet just because I had this dream, but the goodness of God just coming in, just getting you guys wet, just the splash and the overflow of what we thought that we had individually. So
I felt like while we were worshiping that many people are at this, it's like this tipping point right now where God is like pushing you over the edge and pushing you into a place of promotion, into a place of graduating, into a place of just going into something higher and greater than you've ever known. And I just feel like the favor of the Lord right now is so strong upon his people that God is literally going to promote people into new places of influence, into new places of financial increase, into new places where it's connected to the heart, where dreams being fulfilled and longings inside of your heart being established and fulfilled in this time. And I really believe that this fall season is going to earmark something very, just something like very amazing for God's people. And that God is literally in this place. I feel like there's people that are going to be promoted into something new, where God's favor is literally going to like put the spotlight on you in this time and promote you, whether it's in your work or even in the spirit, being promoted and elevated into something new. So I just believe this is a time of extreme breakthrough for people, and where there's been a lot of sowing and plowing in the past, I feel like God is going to cause people to reap in a very unusual way in this time, and it's going to be mighty and powerful.
The Song of Solomon wasn't an accident to be included in the Word of God. He says, you are his song. You are his song in the earth. Break forth into singing whatever God has given you. Abandon it to him. Just totally, totally yield to him. If there's anything you're anxious about, if there's anything you're just curious about, whatever it is in your heart that you don't have an answer for, abandon it to him and he will answer it. You are his passion. You are life.
You are my inheritance and I am yours. You are my eternal love and I am yours. My everlasting love, you're my everlasting love. You're my everlasting love, Holy One. Yeah, just everybody. My everlasting love, you're my everlasting love. My everlasting love, Holy One. You're my everlasting love. You're my everlasting love. You're my everlasting love, Holy One.
My everlasting song.
My everlasting song. My everlasting song. My everlasting song, Holy One. My everlasting song. Shout to the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. Holy.
Well, you know what? Why don't you guys, just since we're a lot of different individuals, don't know each other, why don't you take some time and walk around and greet someone, shake their hand, welcome them to the Lord's house. Welcome. Okay, I don't know if that was a great idea or a bad idea or a fantastic idea. I think it was a fantastic idea, but we have a couple more that want to share something that's on their heart. So Lisa, come on up.
Okay, holding it up. How about that? Good? We're good. Okay. I missed the when everyone was sharing, but God really gave me some things in my heart. And so we're going to be obedient and give them. And what I have to say is not beautiful roses and flowers. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. I always say that, but I'm not sorry. But today, God wanted me to give hope because I thought about John chapter 11 and I thought about Lazarus and I thought about the three that were his friends. We're not talking about someone that he casually knew. These people were his friends. And then as happens in our lives, Lazarus got sick. And they sent word to Jesus. And we all know Jesus waited 2 days to come. And it was very easy to be offended at their friend that day. And Jesus finally came, and their understanding of what Jesus had said and probably the things that they'd heard throughout the Old Testament, that yes, you are the resurrection and the life. And I know Jesus one day will see Lazarus face to face. But the real issue was, I thought we were friends, and you didn't come. And then God took my mind to the disciples, and Jesus preached, and God told his, well, there was no food, so we all know that the 5,000 were fed, and Jesus sent his disciples on a boat into the storm. He knew there was a storm out there. And I can't imagine what went through their mind. Actually, I can. We all can. I thought, I gave up everything to follow you. I thought you were my friend. And the bottom line today is that, oh, he's so much more than a friend. He waited 2 days. You know why? To come and raise Lazarus, because he was more than a friend. I'm going to do something for my friend so big that there's going to be no doubt in your mind who you are to me. I could have come and healed him, and that would have been great, but no. You're my friend, and I'm going to do something that's absolutely going to shut the mouths of the lions around you. And he sent the disciples out into a storm, knowing there was a storm. But he came in the fourth watch of the night. And he walked to them. And Peter jumped out of the boat and was able to go to him. And this morning my word is, you're so much more than a friend to him. And it seems as though he has left. Or he didn't get the call. Or it went straight to voicemail, or he didn't check his email, or you're wondering, I thought we were friends, and we had sweet time together, but where are you right now? And right now, God has something so big planned for you that the lions' mouths will be shut. that your own mind will be in shock by what God will do, because you're more than a friend to him. He's not late. For his friends, for his lovers, for the people who love him, I've got something so great for you that you can't even imagine it. So don't let the circumstances of this life lie to you and tell you he doesn't care, and that you're not his friend, and that you don't know where is he. I've served, I've paid tithe, I've gone to church, I've prayed, I've stood up for Christ, and where are you when I need you now? Oh, you haven't seen the best is yet to come yet. Oh, he's going to stand up for you in a huge way. You just haven't seen it yet. And that was my word this morning.
Amen. So as these, all you people were coming and speaking out, the Lord gave me a picture. That's how he speaks to me. And I saw all of these beautiful words shooting up into this atmosphere and hanging as jewels. And now let me tell you how much God wants my attention, is that he's using something in this picture for me that I'd never use this word, honestly, but I absolutely hate glitter. I do. I can't stand glitter. It gets into everything and everywhere. It is nasty. Can anybody else relate? Okay, thank you. All right. But what God has done in the spirit is he's begun to shoot those jewels, just lamb blast them with the spirit, almost like he's taking aim and shooting it. And what's happening is this jewel, these jewels that have been spoken into the atmosphere, they're breaking apart as glitter. Now's your chance to love glitter. Because he's going to rain down this all on all of us that are saying, I need it. That's mine. I don't feel like it's mine, but I'm going to claim that it's mine. That's mine. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have the opportunity. You have the opportunity to step out away from it and not get hit with the nasty glitter, or step right into it and just become the biggest sparkle you ever knew.
Hi. She just mentioned something about glitter, and it's so funny. Sometimes I'm also a vision, you know, have visions and stuff and pictures. Well, it's just funny. Just as soon as I started worshiping, all of a sudden I had this picture of this big old flower, but it was all gold, and it was just dripping down. But all of a sudden, like her, it was all glitter, and it just kept going and going and going. And I'm thinking, I don't know what this is supposed to mean right now. But okay, maybe pouring down your love and it's just full of glitter. Receive it. And lately I have shared about, I've had this vision of walking in a garden with beautiful flowers I've never seen before. And he told me the glory of God is growing. The glory of garden is growing. And it was so awesome. But he also let me know that each and every one of us is like a flower. We all have our fragrance, and he wants you to give it out. Just give it out. And like everybody's saying, don't be afraid. Well, I'm a chicken right now to be up here, so I'm sharing. So just give it out.
Good job. So we have children's ministry that will be from, is it 4 through 10, right? 4 through 10. So anyone who's 4 through 10, you can come on up. I'm going to pray for you, and we'll release you. Got a couple. Got some back there probably. They might go down. Well, Father, we just thank you for these little ones. Lord, we pray that you would just allow them to receive today, Lord, what you have for them. Father, we pray that they would realize, God, who they are in you today, Lord. Not who they will be, Lord, but who they are in you today, Lord. Let them receive, God, an impartation that will empower them, Lord, for who they are now. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone has any kids they want to go down, you can just have them follow. So, all right, Mike, we're good, I think. Come on up. My multi-purpose iPad.
Yes.
Music and.
Yes. Better put my specs on.
So you can see?
Yeah.
It's a nice concept, isn't it?
I haven't overcome that decay part yet.
So, Lisa, I have to say that it was interesting that you brought up chapter 11 of John. I was debating whether or not to go there, so it's like you opened up the door. But, you know, Jesus says something outlandish there to them, and that if you believe in him, that you're never going to die. And it's so easy for us to put that into our natural mind terms, and, well, he means that we're never going to die spiritually. Or we're going to die, but we really don't die because we're, you know, taken immediate to the Lord, so we're never going to die. But that's not what he said. He said, you're never going to die. And so, is that a promise that's waiting for someone with crazy enough faith to say, you know what, I'm going to believe that?
Right.
Or is it just a mistranslation in the Bible? I believe that Jesus always means what he says.
Right. Yeah.
And he says that again when he's communicating in John chapter 6 about communion. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall live forever. And to me, living forever means immortality. But immortality looks like a pipe dream, frankly speaking.
Yeah. I think it's a win-win, right? Mm-hmm. Because even if you do die like a death, then you still live forever. And the object is this, though, is that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in us is the preservation of life. Eternity is in us, working in us now, swallowing us up. So it's a mindset, it's an act of faith to where we set our understanding or our level of faith. Wait a minute, you mean I could actually be like Enoch and just like never die? Like just, you know, move into this eternal aspect. And this thought is very disturbing, right?
For most.
Yeah, for most. It's very disturbing to most because a lot of it is that it's almost like we know that God's powerful. We know that he's mighty. We know that he's extremely capable. But it's like, okay, we gotta get real here, you know. It can't mean, you know, like, never die. I mean, we know that we're going to live, like Mary and Martha. Mm-hmm. We know that Lazarus.
We know that, Lord.
We know that Lazarus will live here after this. But you know, and Jesus, in his frustration, presses into that reality with them, and he's like, "No, I am the resurrection. I'm not just talking about a hereafter. I'm talking about now.
I'm talking about this present time that we're in."
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find it in Romans, but it says that the law of the Spirit of life, oh, here it is. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. In other words, set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, notice it didn't just say law of sin. Isn't that interesting? Why didn't it say just sin? Oh, sorry, Romans 8:2. My wife always wants to know where we're at. But it's the law of the Spirit of life. It's the government of the Spirit of life. that we live in. Like you said, it's the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, will quicken our mortal bodies. Isn't it interesting, again, that it's the mortal body? That it's talking about something that needs immortality.
Right.
It's not talking about something that's already, you know, fine, the Spirit. It's talking about our mortal bodies.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, I think, is anxious for someone to take him at his word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And say, like, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, someone who says, you know, Lord, you said it, I believe it, that settles it.
Yeah. I was just thinking of this passage of Scripture, and I wrote down earlier, in Colossians 3, 1 through 12, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And then it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And I think that's kind of the, I think that's the thing that we struggle with, is that we read the Scriptures that says we are seated in heavenly places, but I don't think we're fully engaging with what that actually means, that if we died in Christ, when he rose up, we rose up with him and are seated with him in him. And I was thinking of the meaning of the word resurrection. It means to rise. It means to be raised up. But it also means to be raised up again. So that implies that we come from an elevated state through the law of sin and death. There was a depreciation. And it's like, no, I'm raising you back up into this sonship, into this place in me. And I think what we do is we prolong it. You know, okay, at the end of my life, I'll be able to experience that, but it's now, for us now.
Right. Well, it's interesting, going back to Romans 8, it says here that the Spirit, let me see if I get it here. Basically, what it says is that the Spirit, to be spiritually minded is life, but to be carnally minded is death. And so again, it's about where your thought process is. Is your thought process on the earth? And what does that mean, to be on the earth? Does that mean to worry about, are my bills going to be paid? Or, you know, how am I going to handle this sales that I'm going to do this week? Or, you know, what project I'm going to do as a construction person? What I'm saying is that part of that? Or is it that those are just entanglements that are keeping us from walking in the Spirit?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's meant to be complete, everything. Even us going to a sales call is to be in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Us washing the dishes is to be in the Spirit.
Yeah. You know, it's...
Go ahead,
Mike. We have this thing where we're always saying more and more, everything is governmentally related. Everything. How we think, when you wake up, whatever you're thinking about, how you're postured in your thinking, that's what's going to govern you. And so what we've done in so many ways, we've actually surrendered to a form of a government that actually Jesus abolished upon the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because sin and death brought forth a government that did not exist. And then Jesus did away with that form of government. And so anything that is decay related is a level of government that is trying to seduce us or reduce us into a submission to something that should be under our feet. And what I love about what Jesus did, he actually placed everything under our feet. And so what he's waiting for is for us to understand that, come into that mind, let this mind that is in Christ be in us. Come into that mind and make that bow. And so here we are, we're dealing with decay of all things. I even look at our government, and even at the best that the natural government can be, It's still a decayed government. It's in a decayed form.
Right.
So what we're looking for is a government that has no decay. And so we're constantly projecting, you know, into that, this mindset.
So death is obviously like the ultimate form of decay, we would say. So I believe that Jesus makes another radical statement. I like bringing up Jesus' radical statement. Or actually, it's about Jesus. It's Paul speaking in Galatians 2:20. Most of you know this. I've been crucified with Christ. And I don't live as myself. I live as one crucified in Christ. And so, is that meaning that we actually have died? Because the crucifixion was his death. So, is it... What? Amen. But as you're born again, then you're crucified into his death.
Right.
Our born again experience is a death experience in a way.
Right. Yeah.
There's one part of us being born and another part that's dying.
Yeah.
So then at that point, have we served the scripture, it's appointed once for man to die?
Right.
Because we've died, right? Do we not die in Christ?
Yeah, right. So that means that we died the necessary death required to enter into the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so many people, a lot of people think that they have to die another death, a natural death, in order to enter into the kingdom of God. But yet that would be an act of works.
Mm.
And so in reality, the death that we died in Christ, he rent the veil and gave us access into the kingdom of the Father. That was the necessary death. And so now we are living in a time where God is saying, I need you to access your inheritance now. You don't have to wait to die another death. You've already died the necessary death in Christ, who John reveals is the door.
Right.
That he stepped through the door because Jesus said, John, come up here. And he came up there, up into that realm of heaven, stepped through the door and gained access to the kingdom of heaven. So that means the kingdom of heaven and all that it contains is available to us now. So
in its fullness.
In its fullness. So we kind of have an access issue. Like we're still trying to figure out, well, how do I do that then? How do I access the kingdom of heaven now? And you know, another thought I like is that because that we died in Christ, in him we live and move and have our being. If we die in Christ, then that means that wherever Jesus is, we are. And wherever we are, he is. Because he lives in us. And we live in him.
Common union.
Yeah. So time, as we understand it, is really an illusion. It creates space, gives us the distance from here to there, and makes us feel like that Jesus is way out there somewhere in another place, when in fact, he's in us. And so what we're trying to do is, again, that's a law of gravity, a law of space and time. That is a government. And so what he's wanting us to do is break free of that government that was actually intended for the enemy to limit him, not limit us.
So time and space could be our greatest obstacle of actually stepping into heaven, because
yeah,
heaven, most of us think, is in eternity. And how can this normal time-dwelling individual step into eternity? That's kind of a difficult one. How about this contradiction? I'm believing for this transformation. I'm believing for this life that I'm talking about, Holy Spirit, to quicken my mortal body in such a way that I change. My cells change, my structure changes. Yet every morning I take a medicine for my thyroid. And it's like this contradiction. It's like, Lord, I know that you've accomplished this, yet I continue for health reasons to take this.
Right.
It's almost like you're saying this pill has become something that's tutoring me until I come into maturity.
And I think we look at least I look at all of those things as guardians. So We have an amazing world of technology, especially in the medical field, where they're making major breakthroughs again and again and again. And it's already a proven fact that because of many things, how we're changing the way we eat, all of the medical breakthroughs, that we're living longer.
Yeah.
So there, in that sense, there is an expansion, there is an increase. But yet, as great as all of that is, it is like the law was a tutor to faith. It is only there to sustain us, to preserve us, until we break the barrier of faith to where we come into the revelation, wait a minute, I'm not subject to this law. And the way that we know that is because Jesus was not subject to it. Jesus was only subject to the law that was upon the earth because he allowed it. Because when they were even going to take his life, he was like, you can't take my life unless I give you permission.
Right.
So everything that happened to him in any level of the physical realm in terms of government, it was only because he submitted himself to that. Not for his sake, but for our sake.
Right.
So that means that if there is a government of decay, or if there's a government at work that tries to limit me, then the key is that we simply have, we must not allow that to be, which the doorway is faith. The doorway of faith is our access to anything and everything that God has afforded us.
We know faith is given a catalyst of hope. So we have to develop a hope to hang on to and then apply our faith to that.
Yeah.
Here's another one that I'm just kind of throwing these out because these are scriptures that really, I think, substantiate what we're talking about. Even though in the natural, everything we look at when we look in the mirror, it says a contradictory statement for the majority. If there's anybody here that's reversing in age, please stand up. And but there are people in the world that are doing that.
Right.
Now, some may say, well, what's all this have to do with me living my basic Christian life? Well, if you start living in the full abundance that heaven offers, your daily life will come into order. That will be a given.
Yeah.
So love has been perfected among us, John, 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And that word is means as he exists.
That's right. Yeah.
So are we also existing in this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Bible clearly communicates that as Jesus is, not when he was on the earth, because most of us look at Jesus through eyes of the flesh. We know Jesus through the flesh. But as he is in the spirit, so are we right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And complete and full.
And that's our gateway. That's our doorway. Is that we have to enter into that revelation that as he is, so are we. So it's like acclimating yourself to an atmosphere. You come into this unusual atmosphere and you acclimate yourself to the reality of who we are, not who we were. And so if we are in Christ, that means we actually are subject to an atmosphere that is beyond this realm. And I like the idea of double occupancy. Because when you are seated in heavenly places, that means that you occupy both heaven and earth. And Jesus knew what that was. And so I think what's happening is because of our natural birth, because of all the things that we experience, we understand a natural occupation and trying to occupy heaven, or, you know, trying to occupy the earth with heaven. But the other side of that is, wait a minute, I'm actually in two realms at the same time. And so what I have to do is acclimate myself to what it means to be seated, to be enthroned in heavenly places, and let that mind begin to govern in me and therefore affecting the physical realm. And so that's what we're coming into more and more. And let me say this too. I think the key is, again, what we're dealing with is the illusions of life. When you look around and you see death and you see all of the different forms of decay in government and all the chaotic stuff going on,
It alludes you it alludes us to the reality of who we are in the kingdom of God. It's like, well, there's death. Well, there's this, and makes you feel like that you're subject to that. But the key is, and again, let me say this about our government. We want the most righteous government we can get, right, in the natural. If you look at it now, we're like, oh my God. This is a lose-lose.
Some people say, I'm going to flip our coin.
Yeah. So they're leaning. But what happens is while we want, you know, like the natural government to lean in, to make right choices, all of this, at the end of the day, the primary government that we are subject to is the government of heaven, not the government on earth.
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God, yeah. And so what happens is, if we look at that, we actually have a choice to allow the natural realm to govern us, or the kingdom of God to govern us and in us and through us. And I think that's a really, and I'll throw this in, I believe the hindrance in all that we're talking about is love. We have yet to enter into a full understanding of the power of God's love, what the love of God affords us before and after, and the intensity that it has in every field of government.
So would you say for us then it means that we're probably not receiving the love of God in the way that we need to be completely transformed?
Yeah, it's getting filtered.
Because I think all of us are dealing with fear. And we know that His perfect, complete love eradicates all fear.
Yes. Yeah. And emotions. You know, ever how you were brought up, the things that you experienced as children, all of those were forms of government that formed our thinking. But again, at some level or another, filtered out the love of God to the level that it hindered us. It even brought us into fields of decay, of insecurities, you know, all these emotional things. And so if we look at heaven, we know that emotions are very real, and we know that they're real on earth, but what is the difference between emotions in heaven and the emotions, or emotions in heaven and emotions on the earth, is in heaven, emotion serves you. You can enjoy all of the intensity that heaven has to offer. It's a very emotional experience. But on earth, we serve emotion. Therefore, emotion becomes a government. Emotion was never designed to be a government. It was only designed to be a means to encounter God, to experience God, to experience life and creation, but never to be governed by it. And so that is a form of decay. And that is what God is. That's, to me, when Jesus resurrected us, He resurrected us out of the government of emotional illusions. In other words, you wake up, you feel sad, you have all of these emotions that are going on in your life, relationships, all of that. And what it does is it can suppress you. But if we discover the love of God, then it becomes the hammer that breaks the yoke. It shatters all of these things that are trying to grip us and to hold us back. So then if we look at something that's horrendous in the earth, if we look at that through the eyes of love, we realize, wait a minute, God has empowered us to overcome that.
Exactly.
In other words, to become a government, you know, in those fields.
So we let basically the issues of life, things that have happened to us, basically trigger us into a response where we come under the authority and submit ourselves to the outcome.
Yeah.
That we're believing.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, no, this is presenting something to me right now, but it's an illusion. It's a lie. What's truth is God's word. What's true is God's intentions for me. What's true is God's love for me.
Yeah.
So it comes back to this renewing of the mind.
Yes.
It comes back to this healing of our hearts to a place where we're not filled with damaged goods, wounded hearts. We're filled with the truth of what God thinks about us.
Yeah. I'm discovering more and more that
this, the power of God's love, the authority that he's given to us I'm trying to figure out how I can say this right. The love of God has already set us free. He's already resurrected us. He's already seated us. He's already promoted us.
It's completed.
It's done. And so the struggle is that through all of the emotions, through all of the decay, through all of the mishaps that are going on, what we're trying to do is we're trying to like plow through that, all of those lies, all of those intense deceptions, just like what's happening in the government today, plowing through that to see truth. Because to the degree that we see truth is the degree that you are free.
Right.
Because truth sets you free.
Experiencing truth sets
you
free.
So that means to the degree that we actually engage and see the love of God and how profound his love is and what it actually accomplished, to the degree that we can lean in that and trust him and apply that to our life is the degree that we come out of decay. And that is why there's a generation that will not die.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will lean into that more and more and more and realize, wait a minute, the love of God has triumphed. It has triumphed over all. So if the love of God has triumphed over all, that means over all the work of the enemy, that means the only missing thing is that I'm already in that triumphant love. I just don't have revelation of it to the extent that I need to where my physical body, the surroundings around me, submit. And another way that we know this is true in terms of government is that when Jesus moved across the earth, the power of love in him was atmospheric. It affected the atmosphere, not just in the little area where he was at, but literally the atmosphere was being impacted by God in the flesh. So he touched the shore of a land. A demoniac is somewhere else in a cave, is impacted by the atmosphere of heaven, and it flushes him out. And so what's happening?
That's good.
Yeah, and so what's going to happen as we engage with the love of God and no longer allow hate? That's why these environments of government right now, the level of hate, the intensity of division, the intensity of disunity, all of those things are a design of the enemy to cloud the perception of a people where you can't discern good or evil.
Mm.
But if we love, if we look at those that we think are the worst people, if we look at them through the eyes of God's love, that is our laser. We can penetrate right through it. And not only see through the demise, see through the decay, see through the deception, but we can look and see the heart. And see the heart not like, oh, you're going to get yours or whatever, but see the heart of God toward what we think would be the worst person and go, man, God really loves you. And that means the moment we begin to do that, we shift out of that government. All of those things that are governing people's choices, their votes or whatever, we shift out of that and we enter into a clarity of heaven, of the love of God, and we're able to see things with such precision that we're able to then influence other people to do the same.
So would you say that as we change our perspective or our view of candidates, because candidates is kind of right. The whole issue right now, and we all have our favorites and the ones are maybe not so favorite, but I know for a long time I was bound by a political mindset that was lower than heaven, right. And it was based on what would appear on the surface as this is all righteous and or this is all the right things to do, and then over here these were the wrong things to do. But I never really got to the core of who the individual was, because they had a party label, and the label meant they're in the bad category.
Yeah, right.
And so I could never truly take a moment to see the truth of who someone was. Now, a lot of us have arguments in our head. How could you ever think that, party C or party B could have good in it. But could it be that they're lacking the good because nobody believes there's good in it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I find that the key is, to the degree that we do not allow, again, the spirit of hate, of division, of disunity to govern us, you can actually begin to see someone in a different light. And when you see them in a different light, then you begin to see, because everything is about eternity in the sense of God's eternal perspective for all of humanity. And so I think to the degree that we can see the eternal intent of God toward any individual, that we begin to see a plan that is devised by heaven to take certain things that even look like there's no way, there's no, it's like when God spoke about, who was it, Nathan, that mm-hmm. said, can anything good come out of Nineveh?
Right.
You know, and so it's like he was already like, there's nothing good because of the culture, because of what he was subjected to. And so he was already being governed by this understanding. Nothing has ever come out of this that's good, and it never will.
I think it was Nazareth, but yeah.
Yeah, was it Nazareth?
Yeah, Nazareth.
Okay, so he's confronted by this, right? And I was thinking about, was it Nathaniel?
Nathaniel, yeah.
Nathaniel, yeah. I was thinking about Nathaniel. So he's confronted by this reality. Wait a minute, there it is. Now I can see this.
Right.
The object is to look at something that is broken, that it has, that's like it's hobbling along, and look into the pieces of that and say, okay, Lord, what is the gateway here? What will make room for you? What will it, I mean, it's broken, it's whatever, but can I look by the Spirit and see your intent and what you want to produce? Because remember, when Jesus came upon the earth, the biggest thing that worked against them is they could not recognize God in the flesh. And the reason being is because through their eyes, Jesus was broken. Jesus was flawed. He was one in the form of humanity.
Right.
And didn't come through the way that they thought he would come. And so they refused to recognize that God was right in front of them. And so if we can do that through other aspects where we see vessels that have a lot of work to be done, that, you know, I guess I'm thinking about this in our lives. If I look at my life, you know, 25, 30 years ago, and a life that actually Tamara knew me when I was a kid, and then growing, you know, through those years, if you were to look at me in that state, you would be like, and see me now, you'd be like, there's no way.
No way.
He's crippled. He's broken. There's no way that there, you know, it's just not going to happen. But fortunately for me, that God was able to look at the treasure that was in me, the purpose, all of these things, right? And draw that out of me.
Exactly.
And bring me in. But in the meantime, in most people's eyes, I'm a flawed vessel. But in God's eyes, I'm not. In God's eyes, I'm his son. This is what I have planned for him. He's not hating me. He's not working against me. He's not trying to, you know, punish me. I'm doing a good enough job on my own. And so he's trying to bring me out, right? So all I'm saying is we need God's perspective, and all of that is love.
Right.
All of that is love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us. So I am convinced that if we're going to see clarity to the government that God is wanting to rise up, we have to come out of hate. We have to come out of disunity. And I mean, it's a spirit of the world. We got to come out of that, come into the love of God, and then look at it from the perspective of our throne in heaven. We are enthroned in heaven. What does that look like from that realm? Not here. But what does it look like when I'm seated in heavenly places and I'm able to look at all of these things that are out of order? Can I see the order of heaven in it?
Through God's eyes.
Through God's eyes.
Yeah, I'm sure there's several of us, or a lot of us, that probably actually need to look in the mirror and see someone else than we see all the time and say, God, what do you see in me? And I'm sure he would be very happy to tell us if we take the time to listen. Because I know that his thoughts for me are good and to bless me and to prosper and to, like you said, increase us, not decrease us, to expand us. And does sometimes expansion come through humbling? It does, but when God's in you and you know you're going in it or through it for a purpose, it's a lot easier to handle.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to be, I guess, yielding to the potter.
Yeah.
Because we still are being crafted any way you look at it.
Yeah. You know, I'm seeing humility just now. I'm like seeing humility in somewhat of a different light, but this is nothing new. That if I've been injured, if I had disappointments, if I experienced things in my past that made me defensive, made me a bit guarded, made me act in a certain way that is not really godly or whatever, that what happens is to the degree that I can submit that, lay that down.
Which is humility.
That's humility. You see, we can all say, I have a reason to be disappointed. I have a reason to feel the way that I'm feeling. In other words, we can stand before the Lord and say, but Lord, I'm justified because this happened to me. This happened to me. I didn't come by this on this own. Obviously, a lot of decisions we made, right?
Right.
But some of them were like, I didn't. And the Lord's like, yeah, but you know what? If you want to really walk in humility, you got to lay that on the throne. You got to lay that down on the altar and let me consume it. And when that happens, a governmental shift takes place in their life. No longer is my past issues, the things that I felt I failed at, no matter all of that, all of a sudden I'm free. And when I'm free, that means I shift out of the government of that and enter into the government of love, which is what set me free. I enter into the government of love, and now I am governing from the perspective of forgiveness, of being restored, of being seated. All of these different, all of a sudden, I'm seeing differently, and that is no longer has a hold. I believe that is what Paul experienced, is he shifted out of the government that was ruling him, that was causing him to kill people and doing this thing. And when he was blinded to an old government. And he was brought into the light of the government of love that melted his heart and enabled him to see people totally different than he did before.
And to fully submit to God's plan.
And fully submit to it.
Knowing what he was going to even suffer, as the word said.
Right. Yeah. 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 And I think too, there is an illusion. Again, we deal with illusions. Because we categorize people of importance. So, you know, on the earth, when it comes to government, we look at people, you know, presidents, you know, congressmen, different people at different levels. We look at it in Hollywood. We look at it in sports. We classify and put value on people based on their ability to accomplish something in the natural. And so you have gifts, you have talents that are working at all kinds of different levels. But if you feel like that you somehow in some way are not in any of that class, if you don't feel qualified in any of that, what happens is there's a deceptive government that tries to depreciate you, tries to devalue you, and makes you feel like that unless you become that, then you're not going to have value and you're not going to have influence. But in fact, in the kingdom of heaven, it doesn't work like that. Because value is based on who you are in the heart of God, in the kingdom of God. And so that means that whatever you set your heart to do, and if you do that from that kingdom realm, that your crown, your rewards, your whatever is as high, as glorious as anybody else, simply because you yielded and came into the identity of Christ that was in you and us and him. And so I'm saying this to say, right now our nation is in an identity crisis.
right? Because it's like right now, if you look at the government, if you look at all of these pieces, it's like we don't even know who we are anymore. We don't even know the government that we thought was what. It's not that.
Not by
That's
the people,
why
for the
more and more all of the lies, all the illusions, all of the things is coming out. And so what's happening is the enemy is literally hitting this nation. See, you've lived a lie. You've lived, you know, this, you've lived in, and so it's like, no. And so what do you do when you're in times? Well, there's a lot of people that go in denial. You know what I mean?
It's all good.
It's all good. It's all good. It's going to work. It's, I mean, you know, I mean, just in the sense of refusing to look at that. But our identity is in Christ.
Right.
Our identity is not in all of the things that are crumbling, all the things that are, our identity is in Christ. To the degree that we can walk in our identity in Christ is a degree that we will rise up in the government of heaven on earth. And it's a degree that we will implement order on the earth where there is chaos. Because light shines in the darkness. The revelation of light is knowing who we are in the kingdom, in the Spirit of God. So that means I can go in a very dark place that is out of order, totally chaotic, and bring order. Why? Because of the order that I'm walking in and the revelation of who I am as a son. And that is the order that God is waiting to come forth in the earth. But in the meantime, if we get hateful, if we get, I mean, you know how it is,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You bring up anything that's governmentally, you know, you know.
Knives come out.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Blowing fire out of their mouth, I mean, you know. But it's because of government.
Yeah.
It's because of what they're dealing with in their heart, what they're dealing with in their home, what they're dealing, you know, their perception of all of this. And so we have to get free of that in order to really see things rightly.
So we started with like the most extreme end of never dying. And really, if we want to get there, we're going to have to start at the very basics. And that's just receive and submit.
Yeah.
Receive all of God's love and surrender to the love as a work in our lives.
Yeah.
And Holy Spirit's more than able to correct us and give us guidance, especially when it comes to this political season, when it comes to, you know, all the different moral things that are out there that, you know, a lot of individuals are having a very difficult time of weighing, you know, how do you walk this line of love and yet not just accepting lifestyles that are totally contrary that we know to the Word of God, correct?
Right.
And yet, I believe that a heart of love that has been received from us, from God, or from us, to us, from God, is going to allow us to be able to navigate those waters.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we do have murky waters ahead until things transform.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I think what happens is we become so fearful of sin that, again, sin begins to govern us. So if we look at a life that looks like, oh, man, that person's a mess, and their issues are big, and blah, blah, blah. Or, like, we're like, I don't want to get around that. I don't want to, oh, my gosh, I don't want to be associated with this or whatever. But, yeah, that's totally contrary
exactly.
to the life of Jesus. And the reason being is because he wasn't afraid of sin. See, because he was confident in who he was, the Son of God, the love of God, because God is love.
Right.
So he was so confident in that, that he knew it had the authority and power to put that at bay. So what I believe, a lot of reaction that we get in the world today with all the stuff that's going on is fear-based, fear of sin, because of the impact that it's had on our own personal life or the impact that we've seen what it done to our children. So whenever it rises up, we literally become fearful to the degree that we feel like things are out of control and there's no way that we can bring it into an alignment with the order of heaven. When in fact, all we've got to do is maintain our posture of loving God and loving the people. And breaking that down. I'm fully convinced that the governmental shift
that even as this nation, as chaotic as it looks, that come November and the months after, there are major barriers that are going to break down, that are going to catch people by surprise. And we're going to come into a field of government that the nation has never seen before in the last 25, 30 plus years. And I believe it's because right now there are people that are infiltrating behind the walls of government. I know people that are having huge meetings with Muslim groups that have been in the White House, where the power of God moves upon their life, and visions and dreams, all of these different things, congressmen that are being impacted behind the scenes, behind closed doors, in gatherings where the revelation of God's love is hitting them with such intensity that it's causing them to shift. And right now, there is a religious divide, right, that is going on. But we are on the threshold of the earth being impacted by the love of God in ways that we never dreamed. It will come out of the most shattered lives. It will come. It will come out of those that were least likely to succeed. It is going to flow out of those that look worn, they look torn, they looked hateful, they looked whatever. But all of a sudden, there is an exponential thing that is about ready to transpire that's going to hit people suddenly and break them free. And they will be some of the most hardcore lovers of God that we've ever seen before. Why? Because they will be like the woman that was forgiven much and therefore love much.
Right.
And she was so impacted by that, that it brought her literally into that posture with the Lord. That's what we're coming into. And so I'm saying this to say, if I can see that, and I see that, if I can look at that in light of everything that is going on, that's the government that will begin to flow through. And it will begin to override. The gates of hell will not prevail. And I think that is an issue that we have to settle. And I think decay is literally the final frontier that will come under our feet, that we won't look at the gray, we won't look at any of this, and we'll go, I'm sorry, I know that you're working out there, and I know that people are growing older, whatever, but I'm not under your government anymore. Mm-hmm. And we have, to the degree that we can resolve that, is the degree that we can see the future. And I got to say this, the future signs and wonders that are going to appear in meetings is age oldness is going to leave people. You're going to see things happen to not just their body, their organs, all of that is happening now. But you're literally going to see all of a sudden the eternal revelation of God manifest in humanity. And right now, all of these pieces are in play to preserve us. People dying before their time, even though our years are lengthened. But to bring us into all of these tutors that are like, look, I'm tutoring you now until you get into this level of faith and revelation to walk in it. That's what's going to shake the church up. Because right now, a lot of church is being governed by end time theology that says there's no way out of it. You're going to go to hell in the handbasket. It's going to get dark. Everything's going to go old. And the only resurrection that we have is for Jesus to come again. And the Bible says Jesus will not come again because of sin. But when he returns, his final return will be because of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's who we are. And that's what's coming forth in this time.
Amen.
So
there you go.
There you go.
So does anyone have I know I heard amens, but does anyone have like something that's just burning in you while we were sharing? Say, okay, I need to share this because you guys didn't fill it in. Anyone?
It should be on TV.
Should be on TV.
I had just felt I was supposed to look it up. And the definition of quicken is just awesome. I mean, to make alive, to vivify, to revive and resuscitate it, as from death or animate state, things to excite and to stimulate.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes on and on.
It's a big word, isn't it?
Yeah. A fruitful garden without a hedge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, to make lively, active, or sprightly, to impart additional energy to stimulate, to make quick or to rapid, to hasten, to accelerate, as to quicken one's steps or thoughts, to quicken one's departure or speed.
Right, yeah. It's all about life. It's all about life.
Yeah.
It all points to life.
Transformation.
Yeah.
So I would say that that when it talks about the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, and the law of the spirit of life is the law of love.
Yeah.
That Christ ultimately was love encapsulated. And that's who lives in us. And I know some of you are saying, I know at times I think, how am I going to let this love come? Well, it's a matter of just starting to believe it and walk in it. And sometimes it takes little steps for things to start to mature. So maybe there's someone at your work that you have a difficult time with. Yeah. And during this, you're going like, wow, how can I love, you know, this party B if I can't even love this guy at work? You know, it continues to razz me. As the Holy Spirit starts to encourage you, start to show love to them. Because what you're doing is you're sowing love now. And as you sow, God is not mocked. What you sow, you shall reap. And so as you sow that love, you will start to reap in your being the attributes of love. Yeah. You'll start to take on that divine nature of love. And then as you get another opportunity to sow love, especially if it's something that you have been fighting against, because that breaks down walls and barriers. And it's walls and barriers that keep us from receiving all that God has. It's these mindsets that are the walls and barriers. And as you love someone that is unlovely, especially if they've been unlovely towards you, you will release a powerful work in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, when you were talking, I was hearing cultivating. If you cultivate this. And I realized in the beginning, you see, man didn't die right away. What happened was, is that they lived to be hundreds of years old,
right?
So what humanity began to do, though, is it cultivated death. Because of the law of sin and death that entered in, it began to cultivate death. So it took hundreds of years to cultivate, to create the culture of death, to where man began to decay at a rapid rate. And what God is saying now, if you will cultivate, like right now, the reason stuff goes on is because death, hate, all of these things are cultivated. But if you'll cultivate love, if you will lean into this and you will begin to cultivate that and begin to nurture that and lean into that, death will diminish.
Amen.
Death will literally fade away to where we will demonstrate an Enoch revelation manifestation on the earth. So I think that's the key. I think that we have to cultivate a mindset, this mind of Christ, that literally overrides it. You know, right down to the basic cultivation is the basic elements where we talk about ourselves. Oh, this is bad. I feel bad. All these things. And it might be going on. But the object is, okay, so how do I cultivate life? How do I override that? How do I overcome that? Through faith.
Through faith.
And we, I believe that's where we're being postured. We're going to cultivate love. We're going to cultivate life. We're going to cultivate hope. We're going to cultivate all of these things that are going to rise up in our nation. So now, the soil that we see in our government right now, it looks terrible, chaotic. God's like, that's prime soil. That's prime soil to plant seed in right now. Why? Because the only way that it will grow is because of faith. So if you see darkness, if you see all this stuff that is contrary, that is totally opposite, guess what? I got a bag full of seeds for you to cultivate love in the midst of it.
That's good.
And to literally plant my desire, my heart, and watch that government rise up.
Amen.
Jesus. Okay.
So I think, I've seen you before, I think we should step into a new...
Yes, let's do it.
Cultivation of love.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and I think another thing that happens here, and we've done this before, but when you step into a culture, we're really talking about a culture, let my kingdom come as it is in heaven, let it come up on the earth. The culture of heaven is love. And so what we're doing is stepping into a culture of heaven, a culture of love by faith, but at the same time, again, stepping out of decay.
Mm.
So when we're going to, like, you know, say 1, 2, 3, we'll take a step forward. And when we do, we're stepping out of decay. That means we're stepping out of hate. We're stepping out of disunity. We're stepping out of all of these things that literally are trying to depreciate your body and cause you to die before your due date, in the sense of what God has prolonged for us for eternity. And so I believe we can step out of that, or step out of that into this realm, in an agreement, because I feel the agreement in this place, stepping into this and therefore entering into the realm. We're already seated in that realm.
Amen.
We're already there. So what we're doing is coming into an agreement. I agree. I've been lifted up out of death. I've been lifted up out of decay. I've been lifted up out of disunity. I've been lifted up out of all of the illusions of the enemy. And reminds me of that song, I Can See Clearly Now.
I know. It's one of my favorite songs. Because I can see clearly now. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we come into agreement right now, Lord, with the work that has been accomplished, Lord, on the cross. God, that we have been crucified with Jesus. We have been crucified with Christ, Lord. And now we have been raised, Lord, and seated in heavenly places. God, that we are not just limited by this space and this time that we're in right now, Lord, but we are in your time, in your place. And so right now, God, we agree in our hearts. And as a sign of that agreement, we take a step, Lord, in faith, God, receiving the ability, Lord, to walk in the law of love, Lord, the Spirit of Christ, and, Lord, to come out of decay, to come out of death, to come out of hatred, to come out of anxiety and frustration, Lord, and into the kingdom of peace and love and righteousness and joy. And we do that now by faith in Jesus' name.
We step forward.
Thank you,
in
Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
Praise.
Yes, Lord, we praise you.
Praise.
We exalt
you. Praise.
God. You're worthy.
Jesus.
You're worthy.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm. Mm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Just want to remind you, too, if you want to give, there's a couple boxes up here, and you can
give.
Do that. Yeah, you can do that. Okay.
I think Gay has one more thing, and that'll be the caption.
What's been going through as I've been listening to all this is that we're a people of dual citizenship. We're citizens here, but we're citizens there. And God wants us to, how do you renege or whatever? You know, when you go from one to another, you say that's no longer. I'm no longer a dual citizenship. Because duality is what's tripping us up.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being entangled. With this earth.
So we have to just say, in the name of Jesus, I'm no longer going to be a citizen there. I'm just going to be a citizen here.
We're
and
on a visa.
There you go. There you go. We're on a visa.
Amen. Well, this has been awesome. You guys can take time and greet each other some more. And God bless you. Have a wonderful day.